This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, I can walk in newness of life.
If you are a Christian with unrepented sin in your life, you are like a fish out of water. And let me tell you what the danger is. You will either become very uncomfortable with your sin, or you will become very uncomfortable with God. We tend to back away from things that make us uncomfortable. Isn't that right? I don't know how many of you ever touched a hot stove when you were a child, but all it took was once. And then what happens? You start backing away from hot stoves. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian who has sin in your life, God will make you uncomfortable. Go over to John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to convict of sin. That's one of the things that he does in the life of the believer in Christ. When you as a Christian sin, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict you of your sin. In other words, to make you uncomfortable, to not give you any peace with your sin. Catch it. If you truly are a Christian and you've got sin going on in your life, some area of disobedience to God that you're holding on to, thinking, well, this doesn't matter that much. It's not that bad. You know, God understands. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to make you uncomfortable until you deal with that issue in your life. He will make you uncomfortable. Go over to Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Not only will he stir up your conscience, he'll hit you with the word. Look at this. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. How many of you know that the word of God is supposed to convict you if you got sin in your life? If you come to church to be comfortable, guess what? You came to the wrong place. Amen. Somebody said the preacher's job is not just to comfort the afflicted, but to afflict the comfortable. Amen? I mean, if you've got sin in your life that you're not dealing with, if there's an area of disobedience in your life where you know what God is asking of you and you refuse to do it, you've got some other agenda that you want to work out for yourself, then the word of God will convict you. You will hear the word come forth and you'll start getting uncomfortable. You know, there's so many times that I'll be preaching, and let me tell you something, I don't preach to individuals. Now, what I mean by that is I never look at somebody and say, okay, I know what your issue is. Let me get up a sermon to talk to you. No, I don't do that. I preach as the Lord leads me to the whole congregation. Amen. But, you know, so many times people are sitting there and they look at me and they're going, how come you preaching at me? You're talking about just exactly what's going on in my life. I don't even know what's going on in that person's life. But you know what? Holy Spirit does. Amen. Holy Spirit does. And so you sit there under the preaching of the word, you start getting uncomfortable. Why? Because the word is supposed to convict you. But catch what's going to happen now. Catch what's going to happen. If the word is making you uncomfortable, and if the Holy Spirit is making you uncomfortable when you're around the Spirit of God, guess what? Things that make us uncomfortable, we tend to back away from. Isn't that right? And that's why you'll see people, when they've got some hidden sin in their life, they'll start getting cold about coming to church. Why? Because this is where they get uncomfortable. This is where the word hits them. This is where the Holy Spirit is moving. And they start getting convicted about their sin. They get uncomfortable. If you know somebody who says, I'm a Christian, and that person has started backing away from being involved in the Church of Jesus Christ, you need to challenge that person. What sin is going on in your life that's making you so uncomfortable in the presence of God and of His people that you started to back away? See, that's what happens. Or then you'll hear this. You know, I pray, but it just doesn't seem to do any good. My prayers don't seem to get beyond the ceiling anymore. Go over to Psalm 66, verse 18. Let me tell you what's happening. Many times, if you have that feeling, oh, you know, my prayers just don't seem to be getting beyond the ceiling of my room, you need to examine yourself, because let me show you what might be going on. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear. Do you get it? If I have got unconfessed, unrepented of sin in my life that I'm trying to hold on to so I can keep doing what I want to do instead of what I know God wants me to do, God says He won't even hear my prayers. Now, isn't that a rough place to be in? Let me tell you something. You cannot have the abundant life if God is not listening to your prayers. Amen? Amen? Sin puts up a barrier, puts up a wall between us and God so that God will not even hear. Or sometimes people say, you know, I try to read the Bible, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't get anything out of it, you know, and so I've just kind of given up on trying to read the Word. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you've got sin in your life that's standing between you and God, you're not walking in the Spirit, amen? You're walking in the flesh. You're walking in the natural. And the natural man cannot understand the things of God. Yes, you'll pick up your Bible and you'll try to read, and you won't see much in there that you like or that you understand or that you feel comfortable with. Why? Because it's spiritually discerned. And you're pushing the Spirit away. Why? Because He's convicting you of your sin. Let me tell you how it really gets dangerous. I saw on television a few weeks ago the story of a man, a worker in his church. His wife was a wonderful Christian. She even taught on Christian marriage, taught on the Proverbs 31 woman, how to be a woman of God, well known in their community. And she was murdered in their house. And after they did their investigation, they came back and they arrested her husband for murdering her. And everybody was shocked in that community. Man, he's such a nice man. He's a pillar of the church. He couldn't possibly have done this to his wife. And of course, he says he's innocent. But then in the trial, it came out that for many months, this man had been carrying on an affair with somebody outside his marriage. And ultimately, the jury convicted him of murdering his wife. And you know what I believe was partially going on? They understood something. The scripture says that when we turn off our conscience, it is like it's seared with a hot iron. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, 1 Timothy 4, 2. When we turn off that conscience, that voice of God telling us what's right and what's wrong, saying, I don't want to hear this right now, I got my own agenda. When we turn it off, it's like searing it with a hot iron. In other words, God says you can't turn your conscience on and off whenever you want. And what I believe that jury began to sense and to understand, even though they may not have been able to put it into words, if this man had turned his conscience off, began to not hear the voice of God to the extent that he could betray his wife by having an affair with somebody else, all the time lying to her, lying in her face, telling her how wonderful their marriage is. If he could do that, isn't it easy to believe he could take the next step and say, I need to get rid of her so I can have my girlfriend? You see, once your conscience gets turned off, what's left? God says you can't play around with sin. You can't play around. There is no such thing as a little sin. Understand this. And this was what I was taught in my church that I came out of, and it sticks with me to this day. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. You can't afford to play around with sin. It will get its grip into you. And once the devil gets you moving, he'll keep you moving. Amen? In football, there's what's called an influence block. And what that means is that when you know that the play is coming this way, you can't tell which way the defensive man is going to move. But then your job as the lineman who's supposed to block that man is whichever way he's going, you just make him keep on going that way. And just let him move right on out of the play. Amen? That's the way the devil operates with us. He says, you want to have a little sin in your life? All right. I tell you what, I'm going to help you along. But here's the deal. I'm going to keep you moving in that direction. You see, that defensive man trying to get to the ball carrier, he wants to step up here and get in position and stop the ball carrier, so he moves that way. But then he wants to stop when the ball carrier cuts back. But here I come as the offensive lineman. What do I say? What do I say? You wanted to move that way? I'm going to help you keep on moving that way. I don't care what you want to do now. I got you moving. Once you get some momentum in your sin, the devil will keep you going. And that's why you can't afford to play around. You can't afford to think that there's any such thing as a little sin. You know, in the swimming pool yesterday, there's a water slide. And I was watching the kids. They'd get up there and they'd climb up to the top of the water slide. And then they'd go down feet first and they'd be all having a great time, you know. And sometimes they'd put some water on the slide to make it go smoother and everything. Now think about this. This is the way sin in our lives is sometimes. Sometimes we get up to the top of the water slide and we say, well, you know, I don't really want to go and get wet. You know, but I do want to have some fun with the slide. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up at the top of the slide. All I'm going to do is climb up to the top. And then I can look down. That's all I'm going to do because I know I'm not supposed to get wet. You know, I got my clothes on. I don't have my bathing suit on. I'm not supposed to get my hair wet. So I'm not going to go down. All I'm going to do is get up to the top of the slide and look down. And so you climb up to the top of the slide and you look down. How many of you know that's not enough? I mean, once you get to the top of that slide and you look down and see how much fun it would be to slide down there into that water, how many of you know it's hard? And what makes it worse is this. Your good friend is standing behind you and say, chicken, go ahead. Amen? And so finally, what do you do? Well, you say, well, look, I'm not going to go down the slide, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sit down on the top and dangle my legs down. That's all I'm going to do. And you sit down at the top and you dangle your legs down, and that good friend of yours come up behind you. What does he do? Isn't that right? How many of you have ever been influenced to more sin by your friends? Anybody? Amen. And then you get about halfway down the slide and you say, oh man, I'm going to get wet. Let me stop. I'm going to climb back up. How many of you know it's too late? It's too late. See, that's the way sin operates in our lives. The devil takes us step by step. Start with a little sin. Just that thing that you've always been doing in your life, but now that you're a Christian, you know it's not according to God's will for you, but you're going to keep on doing it because it's not a big sin. You're not robbing anybody. You're not shooting anybody. All you're doing is lying a little bit. All you're doing is having a bad attitude. All you're doing is going someplace else when you know you ought to be in the house of the Lord. That's all you're doing. That's all. And the devil says, that's all you need. Keep climbing up to the top of that slide. Let your legs dangle over a little bit. And when you get up there, I'm going to give you just that little push that you need to go all the way. The devil tries to deceive us into thinking we can play around with sin and not get wet. What do I need to do to resist the devil? Go over to James chapter 4, verse 6. Look at the wonderful, wonderful promise that we've been given. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The devil is a liar. Amen? He will try to deceive you into thinking that a little sin in your life is all right. You can disobey God in little things and get away with it. It won't hurt you because the grace of God will cover it. God's not going to punish your sin. God loves you. He's not angry with you. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Look at this. Look at how the grace of God is supposed to operate in your life. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to whom? To the humble. To the ones who are not saying, I want my way. But who are willing to come before God and submit themselves to God and say, God, whatever you say goes in my life. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, do what? Submit to God. Then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, that's how you live the abundant life. That's how you live as a new creation in Christ. You've got to learn how to resist the devil. Understand, there will never be a time in your life when you will not be tempted. Amen? There will never be a time in your life when you will not be tempted. As long as you are in the flesh, there will be temptations to which your flesh is heir. And therefore, if you want to walk as a new creation in Christ, it won't be because you never get tempted. It'll be because you know how to handle the temptation when it comes. And so what did it say? Number one, submit to God. You got to submit yourself to God. What does it mean to submit to God? You got to make up your mind that he's the one that's in control. Amen? You got to make up your mind that from this moment forward is his agenda and not mine. I don't care what it is. If God says nay and I say yay, guess who wins? The nays have it. Amen? Hallelujah. How do you submit to God? Well, number one, you do need to pray. Amen. And let me tell you what your prayer needs to be. Go over to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Many times we know what our sin is. We know that we are already resisting God in some area of our life. But you know, sometimes the devil has us so deceived that we don't even see our sin. So here's one of the prayers we need to pray. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. See, you ask God to point out, is there anything in my life going on today, Lord, that is outside of your will for me, that's not according to what you want in my life? Lord, I submit that to you. I surrender that to you right now. If you show it to me, Lord, then I will repent of it and get it out of my life. See, that's the attitude that we have to have. Let me tell you, it's no good praying to God if you're not willing to do what God told you to do. Here's the second thing. Number one, you do need to pray. But number two, look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The only way that you're going to walk as a new creation in Christ, living in newness of life, you've got to deny yourself. What does that mean? There's going to be some things that you want that you can't have because you're a Christian. Amen? There are going to be some things that you will have to put time and energy and effort and money into doing that you otherwise wouldn't do because you're a Christian. How many of you know God's not concerned to keep us comfortable? Amen? And so we've got to make up our mind. I'm going to take up my cross daily, deny myself, and follow him. What does to take up the cross mean? It means to die to yourself. You got to die to self. It's no longer my agenda. It's his agenda in my life. And you know what that translates to in terms of sin? A zero tolerance for sin. How many of you know that God does not abide even the smallest bit of sin? God has no tolerance for sin. There is not one single solitary sin that God looks at and says, well, that's all right. Jesus had to pay for every one of them. Amen? He suffered on that cross for every sin that we ever commit because somebody had to pay the price. There's no such thing as a sin that God will tolerate. And therefore, if I'm going to deny myself and submit myself to him, I have to have the same attitude. The moment God reveals sin in my life, my attitude toward it has to be zero tolerance. Here's what I have to say. Lord, I deny myself today. Whenever my desires conflict with your desires will always win. When I want to stay in bed a few extra minutes instead of getting up to read the word in the morning, God, you win. I'm going to get up. When I have a bad attitude today and I feel like saying something to my wife or my husband or my children that's going to tear them down instead of building them up, that's what I feel like, Lord, and they deserve it, but Lord, you win. See, here's the deal. I have to make up my mind that there is no time, there is no area, there is absolutely nothing in my life that if it's displeasing to God, it's going to be pleasing to me. And here's the third thing. You got to apply the word to your life. You got to apply the word to your life. The devil will deceive you. Amen? He will do everything in his power to tell you lies, to make you think that right is wrong and wrong is right, and that a little sin won't bother God. But you know what it is that always defeats the lie? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Psalms 119, verse 160 says this, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. You want to know truth? You need the word. Amen? The thing that will always defeat the lies of the devil is when you allow God to speak to you through his word. And therefore, you need to hear the word. But beyond hearing the word, what else do you need to do? James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye what? Doers of the word. And not hearers only. And then finally, when you mess up, what do you need to do? Fess up and repent. Amen? When you mess up, you got to fess up and turn around. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what the wonderful thing about God is? All of us as Christians will sin. Amen? Amen. We will sin. Amen. We're just not going to live in it anymore. But when we do mess up, when we do sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But what do we have to do? If we confess our sin. He didn't say if you hide it. He didn't say if you excuse it. If he didn't say if you minimize it. He didn't say if you turn around and say, well, my sin is not as bad as so-and-so's sin. No, what did he say? If you confess your sin. Because sin is sin. Doesn't matter how big we think it is or how small we think it is. The moment God reveals a sin in your life, a place where you're being disobedient to him, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When I was growing up, there was a TV program I liked to watch. Now, I'll be honest, the reason I liked to watch it was because there was lots of guns, you know, machine guns and stuff. It was cool. It was all about Eliot Ness, the Untouchables. You remember that? Yeah, you remember him. Amen. Yeah. But why was that group of men called the Untouchables? They were federal agents in a corrupt city of Chicago, but they couldn't be corrupted. How many of you know that it only takes one time for you to accept a bribe for you to be a corrupt official? Amen? You see, they couldn't be corrupted. They wouldn't even accept one little bribe. And that's the way we need to be about sin. You know what I want for us to be? I want us to be a congregation of untouchables. Hallelujah. When the devil comes after us and tries to tempt us, telling us, just a little bit of sin, that's all. I mean, just keep on doing this little thing that you've been doing. Keep on, you know, having a bad attitude or gossiping or whatever it is you've been doing. Just keep on. That's all right. God won't mind. We want him to go back home and tell the rest of his little imps and devils, I couldn't touch him. Couldn't touch him. I mean, it was like they had Teflon on. You know, I was reaching out trying to get my stuff on them, but it slid right off because they are untouchable. Amen? That's what we need to be with regard to sin. Amen. When the devil throws temptation our way, it needs to just slide right off our back because we've already made up my mind. I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm not going to have any tolerance for any kind of sin in my life because I know one sin leads to the next, and it will take me further than I want to go, keep me longer than I want to stay, and cost me more than I ever want to pay. And so I've made up my mind. As far as sin is concerned, I'm Eliot Ness, praise God. I am untouchable. And when I do get touched, 1 John 1:9, I'm going to be quick to confess it, quick to turn around and repent. And God has made this promise, what? He will forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Look at one more thing. Go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Here's the bottom line on everything we've talked about today. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Understand one more time. You are, if you're a Christian, you are a new creation in Christ. You don't have to try to be one. That's who you are. And now you just need to start walking in newness of life. Walking in the Spirit of God. Letting the Lord God know, Father, I am going to follow you, and whatever it is that you call upon me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And no longer will I tolerate even the smallest sin, the smallest area of disobedience in my life. I surrender it to you.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.